Well, good afternoon. Welcome. It is Joe Beamer here on Monday on News Radio 930 WBEN. Great to be with you. Hope everyone's having a great start to the week. It's a hot one here in Western New York. Hope you had a great weekend as well as summer rolls right along. And what do I tell you? It is as if we were freezing. We said to ourselves, winter will never end. It's cold to start May. We're never going to get to summer, and then summer's here, and it's as if it flies by. We're already talking about training camp for the Bills, preseason football. I mean, summer is the quickest season in Western New York. I will say it's the best. Buffalo, Western New York, we have the best summers, but it flies by. It's not just when you're in school that it flies by. In life, it flies by. So hopefully you are taking some time and enjoying this summer 2026. Yesterday, we all woke up to the shocking news of Lindsey Graham passing away. And, you know, you were expecting to maybe wake up to a notification that Mitch McConnell had passed away, and I'm not wishing that, but he has been in the hospital for over a month, and, you know, there's rumors swirling before he took that picture yesterday. So when you wake up and it's Lindsey Graham, you know, 71, which, I don't know, in 2026, is 71 old? I don't think so. And, you know, passed away unexpected, had talked to the president the night of, and later passed away from a cardiovascular issue. And you know, it's sad. It's sad when anyone dies. And, you know, I heard Reese earlier talking about, you know, how people become a little phony when people die. And I'm not saying that people should be phony. I agree with what he was saying. But, I mean, there's something, I don't know, there's a difference between, hey, yeah, I didn't care too much for this person's politics, but I'm sorry they're dead. My prayers are with their family. And then you go on Blue Sky and on Twitter and on social media, and you see what people are saying. And it's like, just because you didn't like this person's politics, you're saying things like good riddance, the world's a better place. I mean, this is a guy and his family. I mean, and you hear the story of Lindsey Graham and, you know, losing his parents at a young age and raising his sister. Again, you might disagree with his politics, but to say good riddance and the world's a better place, you know, I called out the president when he made the comments he made about Rob Reiner. I'm going to call out anyone. I just don't think that's appropriate, you know? I mean, I've always gone along the lines of, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. But some of these TDS liberals, the stuff that they're saying, again, you didn't like the guy because of his politics, fine. You don't have to say something. I mean, do you realize the amount of times that I've had to censor myself on social media, that I've put something up and I've looked at it and said, Joe, that's in poor taste, or what's that going to gain you? And I just can't imagine the people who see that written, see that pre-written, and say, yeah, you know what? That's good. I'm going to post it. But that was, again, it's not surprising in today's landscape. It's not surprising to see so many on, again, not everybody on the left, not even a majority of people on the left, but it's not surprising to see people on the left take a victory lap because Lindsey Graham has passed away. I don't know. That'll always make me, number one, feel uneasy. And two, we really are happy someone's dead just because we don't like their politics. I don't think I'll ever be in that mindset when we're talking about American politicians. You know, it kind of goes back to that thing that I've always said. The people who hate us the most, they don't view us as Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals. They view us as Americans. And I think we should more times than not be looking at ourselves as Americans. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't call out the socialist Democrats who want to turn this country into socialism. No, of course you call that out, right? You vote against it, you criticize it, But you know, I'm not gonna wish death on anyone or celebrate anyone's death because I didn't like their politics. I can't imagine being in that space. And unfortunately, as I said, there were a lot of in poor taste comments, especially on Blue Sky yesterday, regarding Lindsey Graham. And again, died on Saturday night. He was supposed to be on Meet the Press yesterday. The president calls in and, in his place. And we'll obviously be following that today at 4 o'clock tonight, or this evening, or late afternoon, whatever you want to call it. There will be an announcement for who will be appointed to a seat. That person will fill out his term, and then they'll have a primary, and the election that was planning to go in November for Lindsey Graham's seat. 803-0930, star 930 is the number to get on today if you want to contribute to the show. And if you listened to Hardline yesterday, or if you listened to me at all last week, you know where we're starting on this show again today. And yes, it's right back to the city of Buffalo, and now over a week removed from 11 shot in 2 hours, and we still have no one arrested. And to me, I just don't understand. We have all this focus on the promoter. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that the promoter shouldn't be charged with something, or that we shouldn't be focusing on the promoter. I don't want that to be taken as what I'm saying. But all of the attention seems to be on the promoter, right? This is from Mackie Becker over at Channel 7. Buffalo Police Commissioner Erica Shields says the city of Buffalo is going after the promoter of a street party. We know that. We've played that clip a million times. Erica Shields says you're promoting an illegal event with the motto being a street takeover. Crime Stoppers is offering a $2,500 reward for information leading to the arrest of the suspected street party promoter, 24-year-old Davion Alexander. But what about the shooter? What about the shooters? Again, the promoter, you want to throw fines at them, civil charges, whatever. What about the people who are responsible for 11 people being shot and sent to ECMC? I rarely hear the commissioner, the mayor, talk about the shooters. It's all about, we've got to get this promoter. We've got to get the promoter off the streets. We've got to throw fines at the promoter. What about the people who, what about the guy who was on the grain elevators shooting into the crowd? How about we have a focus of getting the people with the firearms arrested and charged? Because, again, this to me all goes back to optics. And we all know Erica Shields, she's afraid of optics. She doesn't want too many police to help break up a party. And we've heard that a million times. And I will, during the break, get Rob to bring that cut out of my folder. And we'll play it after the bottom of the hour news. But we know that Erica Shields, when it comes to optics, does not want too many police. Oh, we can't have too many police because there'll be officer-involved shootings if we throw too many police at a situation. But what are the optics, Madam Commissioner, when 11 are shot and sent to ECMC, and over a week later, there is still no arrests, and it sounds as if law enforcement isn't even focusing on the shooters? All I hear about is the promoters, right? This morning with Susan and Brian, and you know, I love Mitch Nowakowski. He's one of my favorite people. But he was focusing on the promoter. And stopping the promotion of these and stopping these get-togethers. I'm not saying that's wrong, but what about the shooter? Last night, let me make sure I got the date right here. Yes, last night, Beaver Island, three Buffalo men were arrested for an alleged assault at Beaver Island State Park. Now, if you go on to read this story, police encountered a large crowd of men, women, and children in a parking lot when they arrived at the scene. There were firearms, illegal firearms. There was a convicted felon there with a firearm. They had three arrested within minutes, okay? Now, I realize you're going to say, well, Joe, the street takeover was huge. It was, you know, multiple blocks and, you know, you had multiple shootings on different streets throughout those blocks. I get it. But last night, a fight breaks out on Beaver Island. You have the sheriffs, the state police, and Border Patrol respond. Three people are now arrested. One is at the holding center. Not surprisingly, because it's New York State, two have been released with an appearance ticket. But the arrest was made. What are the optics? Do not mess around on Grand Island. Don't mess around in the parking lot at Beaver Island. Don't mess around on Grand Island. In the city of Buffalo, where are the optics? Well, don't be the promoter. Apparently, don't be the promoter. The promoter's the one who's going to get the fine. The promoter's the one that the reward. Where's the reward for, again, I hate to sound like a broken record, where's the reward for the shooter? Where's the reward for the person that did not sound right. Where's the reward for information leading to the arrest of the shooter or shooters? Where's the reward for the arrest, for the information leading to the arrest of the person who sent, again, person or persons who sent 11 people to ECMC? Why is that not the focus? You're only going to get so much from the promoter. Why isn't the focus, hey, if you bring a gun, again, they want us to believe that these are people from all over Western New York, fine. Where's the message? If you come to Western New York and you shoot into a crowd, you will be thrown into jail. I hear the commissioner talk so much about optics. Oh, I can't send too many of my police. It'll look like a police state. We can't have those optics, but I guess we're fine with the optics of, hey, come to Buffalo, do what you want. We'll find someone else responsible. We won't put it on you. We won't arrest you. I'm telling you, I do not use this word lightly, but it just feels like incompetence continues to just take over the city of Buffalo when it comes to leadership. You know, people should be in jail right now. We are fortunate. We're not fortunate that 11 people were shot. We're fortunate no one died. We are fortunate that no one died that night. You could have easily had more than 11 people sent to the hospital, and you could easily have 11 people dead. And we are fortunate no one died that night. But it seems to me the city of Buffalo and the police commissioner is more interested in getting the promoter of the event than actually going after the criminals who are the people who decided we're going to go to this event and we're going to shoot it up. Those are the people that deserve to have an award issued for leading to information to their arrests. And that's not what we're seeing. Or at least that's not what's been announced. Right now, the announcement, again, this is Channel 7. The announcement is that Crime Stoppers is offering $25,000 reward for information leading. Crime Stoppers is offering a reward for information to the arrest of Davion Alexander. According to Crime Stoppers, Alexander is wanted by the Buffalo Police Department's Gun Violence Unit in relation to shootings that occurred on the 4th of July. They believe Alexander was the promoter. The promoter. Wait a minute. Again, fine. You want to get fines? You want to civil charges? Wouldn't the Gun Violence Unit want information leading to the arrest of the person who had the gun, who shot 11 people? Like, to me, the focus is out of whack. You know who the promoter is. Allegedly, you had been following the promotion of this street takeover the days leading to July 4th. To me, it seems as if when it comes to the event and how it got out of control, that lands on Commissioner Erica Shields. You're going to take basketball hoop rims down to prevent a basketball tournament. You close down a McDonald's in the neighborhood. You put blockades up in different neighborhoods. But you knew about the party. So there should have been a plan in place. And again, I know Erica Shields doesn't want too many cops there. But there should have been a plan in place so it never got out of control. Now, again, I'm not saying that the promoter's not to blame and the promoter shouldn't be talked to. But we're 9 days, 8 days? No, we're 9 days since the 4th of July shootings. And no one that was responsible for firing a gun where 11 people were shot in 2 hours has been arrested? And Erica Shields wants to talk to me about optics? Well, the optics of everything. Well, the optics look pretty bad. The optics look pretty bad at this point. And, you know, talking yesterday with Rashid Wyatt and Joe Golombek, talking about, obviously, it's disappointing that it got to this level. And their thoughts on the state of the Buffalo Police. And again, I know I repeat myself, but I'm gonna say my criticisms have nothing to do with the men and women of the Buffalo Police. They put their life on the line to defend this city every day, right? They go out there making sure this is a safe city, as safe as it can be. My criticisms on the planning of the commissioner and the planning around this event that they were so quick to tell us, I mean, not that quick because it took 2 days for a press conference, but they were so quick to tell us that they knew this was happening and what the promoter did last year, thinking that was going to make them look better. But again, if you had all this information, how did it even get to the point where it was? And I just can't believe that 9 days later, we are still talking about this, and we're not talking about a resolution. We are still talking about no arrests. We're talking about the promoter still. We have no information on shooters. And what's next? Oh, they're planning a street takeover part two. Well, and again, if you're the commissioner, you got to send some police out there. You got to stop it from getting to even starting. You didn't let a basketball tournament take place because you thought that there was a risk for violence. Okay, you can stop a street takeover from taking place. I mean, that is possible with the right plan in place. I just don't understand the focus of the commissioner, of the mayor, of certain members on the council. I don't understand the focus. It's all on the promoter, the promoter, the promoter. And no one wants to say, hey, 9 days we have shooter or shooters running free around Buffalo, New York. No one wants to bring that up. No one wants to put a stop to that. You're more concerned about the promoter than the actual person who shot into a crowd roaming free in Buffalo, New York as we speak. That's not top of the list for the commissioner, for the mayor, for members of the council. And don't say, whoa, we don't know if they're from Buffalo. The incident took place in Buffalo. It's on you to find these people. It's on you to bring justice. And again, it's on you to make the statement. This does not happen in Buffalo, New York. And if it does, you'll be brought to justice. That statement is not being made 9 days later. 803-0930, Star 930, gets you on the program. It also gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. What would you like to see happen? And when it comes to this street takeover part two, which was mentioned on A New Morning with Susan and Brian today when they were speaking with Mitch Nowakowski, what would you like? What should the Buffalo Police Commissioner, what should her plan in place be to make sure this thing doesn't even start? Again, you took down basketball hoops, you closed a McDonald's, you did all this preventative stuff, and you still let a street takeover consume blocks and blocks of the city of Buffalo and did nothing about it because you didn't want too many police. My question is, what do you do now? There's allegedly a plan on social media for a part two to take place this weekend. If you're Erica Shields on Monday, what's the plan you're putting in place to make sure this thing doesn't even start? 803-0930, Star 930 gets you on the program. It also gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. It's Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Joe Beamer on a Monday on News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll get right back to this in a second. So I am broadcasting live from Sunset Beach, North Carolina. Family trip. We got everyone here. My parents are here. My sister, her husband, their kids, me, my wife, our son. Very nice. Very nice. Weather's beautiful today. It has rained. So we left last week and drove down. It rained, like, rain just followed us the entire drive down. But it rains for what, like 10 seconds? And then the sun's back out. You know, I'm looking out the window now. Beautiful. You can hear the ocean. I for someone who does not tan, I go right from pale white to burnt. I love the beach. I love it. I love the sound of the ocean. I like the feel of the sand. All you know, everything that you could put in a Jimmy Buffett or Kenny Chesney song. So yesterday, you know, we got family coming by, saying hi, you know, having a ton of fun. And my son got a splinter in his hand. First splinter experience. You know, traumatic experience for a three-year-old. And he had the, he was not letting anyone touch it, right? So I try to just, it's right on the surface. So I try to squeeze out the splinter and I break it in half. So he goes to sleep with the splinter in his hand, all right? Wakes up, it's all red. He doesn't want anyone to touch it. He's screaming, he's going nuts. And finally, I was just able, I mean, after hours, I was finally able to take his hand. I mean, he's crying, and push the rest of the splinter out. And got it out. And of course, he says, no, it hurts more. I mean, you know, that was 30 more minutes of crying and talking about how painful it was. And then right before the show went started, he goes, you know, Dada, my hand feels better. I go, yeah, of course. Of course it's going to feel better. You don't have a splinter in there anymore. But that was his first splinter experience and my first splinter experience, having to remove a splinter from somebody else. So we're learning. Every day we are learning. 803-0930, star 930, gets you on the program, gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, and, you know, it is, to me, it's amazing how this story has stayed front and center. Obviously, talking about the shootings last weekend, the 4th of July, how this has stayed front and center, and again, I think it is people being disappointed. I'm not shocked by the reaction from the commissioner. I mean, again, I think you could probably tell this is how the commissioner feels when she says things like this. Rob, we'll play the Erica Shields clip.
We don't want to create a police state. It is a balancing act. And I'm also acutely aware the more police we throw to a problem, the greater likelihood we have an officer-involved shooting, which we want to avoid at all costs.
Yeah, I'll play that clip as much as I have to. I mean, that's the commissioner of police. That is the person in charge for the Buffalo Police. And you want to know, how did this get out of control? And how are we in a situation 9 days later where we don't have someone arrested? And you know, a texter brought up a great point during Brian and Susan's show. You know, I like to go through and see what people were texting through the other shows. And when Nowakowski was on, someone texted in, where is this? Yes. Why hasn't the promoter been arrested yet? Like, what more information do you need? Like, if this is where your focus is going to be and everything's the promoter's fault, why hasn't the person that you know, why have they not been arrested? If the crime is the event, why has this person not been arrested? I saw that on the text board, and I said, that's a great point. And no one wants to focus on the shooters, on the actual violence. And then when you have another event promoted, and you wonder, well, how could this get out of control? Again, think of that clip we just played. That's the commissioner of police. And she doesn't want to, quote, create a police state. And she knows if she sends more officers to a situation, the higher risk of an officer-involved shooting. That is the person who is in charge of the Buffalo Police. And that is how this event got out of control. As I said this last week, and I will continue to say this. There should have been a press conference at 8 p.m. the night of the 4th of July saying this party, from experience we had last year, this party was getting out of hand. And we shut it down. But that's not what happened. And unfortunately, 11 people were shot and sent to ECMC. 803-0930, star 930, gets you on the program. Then, as I briefly mentioned in the first segment, we have this incident on Beaver Island. Three Buffalo men arrested after an alleged assault at Beaver Island State Park in Grand Island. Troopers, New York State Park Police, and Erie County Sheriff's Office with Border Patrol responded to Beaver Island State Park around 5:30 p.m. on July 12th for reports of several people fighting in a possible weapon. Police encountered a large crowd of men, women, and children in a parking lot when they arrived at the scene. Responding units stopped two cars that tried to leave the scene. Police followed 40-year-old Wilfredo Rodriguez, one of the vehicle's occupants, to be in possession of a Glock 29-9 handgun. The other vehicle occupants were Jean-Pierre Montalavo Santos and Michael Acosta Padilla were uncooperative and taken into police custody by Park Police. A 42-year-old victim was transported to ECMC for lacerations to his head. Police said all three suspects were turned over to the New York State Bureau of Criminal Investigation out of clearance for arrest and processing. Rodriguez was arrested for second-degree obstruction, second-degree criminal possession of a weapon, and second-degree assault, second-degree criminal possession of a firearm in a sensitive location, a New York State park, and second-degree menacing. He was transported to Erie County Holding Center. Police said Rodriguez is a convicted felon and does not possess a pistol permit. Acosta Padilla was charged with a second-degree obstruction and fourth-degree criminal mischief. Santos was arrested for second-degree obstruction. Both Santos and Acosta Padilla were issued appearance tickets. Of course they were. And released. So that happened yesterday. And again, we have what happened. We have the arrest. We have an already convicted felon in jail. Now, again, I'm not going to sit here and say, we all know what bail reform and raise the age, but look how quickly that was taken care of. Now, yes, you had Erie County Sheriffs, you had New York State Police, you had Park Police, you had Border Patrol, all in on this situation, all in on the arrest. But look how quickly. We are on Monday are talking about three people arrested. In the city of Buffalo, we have a name floating around. But 9 days later, all we have is the name of the promoter, and we have nothing when it comes to the shooter or shooters on the 4th of July. And I will keep saying it just sends, in my opinion, it sends bad optics. It is bad optics for the city of Buffalo. 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to Keith in Buffalo. Keith, thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Doing all right, Keith.
Just like to highlight a crime that happened last year. An 88-year-old gentleman, Andrew Krawcheck, was murdered by a 16-year-old, and he's due to be sentenced tomorrow, and I believe in like a adolescent court, something of that nature. But it's just another crime that's kind of swept under the rug, and we'll see what the sentencing, the verdict is tomorrow.
Hey, Keith, can you remind us of the specifics of that case?
There was an 88-year-old man in the neighborhood. He would always walk down Forest Avenue. We'd see him pretty much every day. He just minded his own business, but he was, I think it was May of last year, he was beaten to death on a Sunday afternoon. And I didn't really hear about it on the radio or any local news media. I think it was actually your station that reported it a few months ago and looked into the case, and it's just another disturbing incident that wasn't really reported on, and I'm sure the guy, Julique Grissom, will get a slap on the wrist tomorrow.
Yeah, now he pled guilty to first-degree manslaughter under the age of 18, yeah. Which I guess would mean that it's going to be wiped from his record when he turns 18?
I'm not really sure, but I guess we'll have to wait and see tomorrow. But, yeah, it sounds like that might be the case.
Keith, thanks for reminding us of that. Yeah, you're right. I completely forgot about that, but that is taking place tomorrow. I am seeing if that would be wiped from records in New York with Raise the Age. Let's see. In New York, first-degree offenses committed under 18 are not automatically wiped or expunged, while juvenile records and youthful offender are kept confidential from general public. Murder and severe violent felonies are permanently retained by the state and federal government. Because first-degree charges are Class A, they carry specific legal constraints. If this case results in a conviction, the judge has the discretion to grant youthful offender status. This prevents an adult criminal conviction on your record, but we'll have that's in the that's for the judge to make the decision tomorrow. But yeah, this happened last. Now I've lost the story, of course. This happened. And yeah, July 14th will be, that's tomorrow, will be sentenced for the murder of an 88-year-old man. Here it is. So this happened 2 months ago. A Buffalo teenager pleaded guilty to one count of first-degree manslaughter after assaulting and killing an elderly man on Buffalo's west side, the Erie County District Attorney's Office said Wednesday. Police responded to the area of Parkdale and Forest Avenues after receiving a 911 call from a witness reporting the assault. Officials said the suspect, who was age 16 at the time, kicked and stomped the victim in the head multiple times, causing him to fall to the ground. Police identified the victim as 88-year-old Andrew Krawcheck. Officers took the suspect into custody near a Baines Street residence. Krawcheck was transported to ECMC, where he died from his injuries June 2nd. The suspect, now 17, is scheduled to be sentenced on July 14th and is being held without bail at the Erie County Services Center. Can I just say, first-degree manslaughter. You want to go back to what's the message being sent. This is someone who killed a man. Yeah, he died a month later, but you caused the guy to die. Like, injuries that resulted in his death. And you're giving him one count of first-degree manslaughter. He murdered a guy. So you're already pleading down to where it will be a lesser penalty. But this, at 16, you know what you're doing, right? I mean, are we gonna play that game? At 16, you know what you're doing. And now this kid will, get some type of sentence, and we'll see what the judge does. But that's what we're working with here. That's the mindset. And again, that's the messaging sent out. Well, why wouldn't we throw another street takeover party? No one's been arrested, right? And look, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'll get found with first-degree manslaughter, which the sentence varies from 3 to 20 years. In New York, classified as a Class B felony with potential sentences ranging from 5 to 25 years in prison. So that's not murder. The kid is 17. 5 years would be 22. And can we be honest, in New York State, with the judges in this state, he's not getting 25 years. I mean, can we be honest? We know how New York State works. He's not getting 25 years. And I wouldn't be surprised if the judge put the youthful offender status. I hope they don't. I'm sorry, you killed someone. I'm not sorry. You killed somebody. If you're not going to be behind bars, then yeah, it should be on your record. People should know that when this person was 16, they beat up a man so badly, an elderly man, that he died in the hospital. And it does go back to something that I have said repeatedly. It's got to be known from a young age that if you do something wrong, you got to pay the price, right? If you break the law, if you harm somebody, you have to pay the price. You have to do the time. And we wonder why cars are driving out of parking lots throughout Western New York. And what we usually find the people, it's 16, 17-year-old kids, because they know, well, that's not going to, that'll be wiped off my record. I can only be, you know, charged so much. You set up a system to where criminals are not doing the time for the crime they committed. And that's the message being sent to teens in Western New York. 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to Cheektowaga. Chris, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right, Chris.
Hey, I think the parents need to be charged with these crimes. You could charge the teenagers, sure, but you know, like this 13-year-old, even though they were a victim at the 4th of July thing, what were the parents doing letting them even attend something like that, letting them out that late at night?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you find the shooter and the shooter is under the age of 18, I mean, you've got to send a message that this is not, if you're the kid, if you're the teen and you commit a crime, you pay the price. And if you're not watching your kid and they get into trouble, you're paying the price.
Well, I mean, if you're not watching your kid and your kid gets shot, isn't that some form of child neglect? You let your kid go out at 2 in the morning and get shot.
I don't want to
make assumptions, but I have a feeling a lot of these parents are on some form of social security, so they only have one job, to take care of their kids, and they're not doing it. They have one job. Take care of their kids. They're getting paid based on how many kids they have, and they don't even take care of these kids.
Yeah, Chris,
all these people, they're all in the wrong. The parents are doing horrible.
I mean, that is, you know, one thing, and we've heard it from members on the council, when the parents don't care, or when the, you know, the parents aren't setting the example where the kid's supposed to turn to. But no, Chris, I agree, especially if you're a teenager and you commit a crime with a weapon. I think that, you know, the parents should definitely be looked at. I mean, I have said this about the top shooter. You didn't know what was going on in your son's bedroom. You didn't know your son was becoming radicalized. You didn't know why your son was disappearing from the house for days leading up to the shooting. I definitely think the parents knew more than they're leading on when it comes to that situation. But yeah, when we're talking about crimes committed, and you know, and Chris makes a point, but I'm not completely pushing back on that. But you know, when I was a teen, I'd be lying if I would tell you right now that I was always honest when I told my parents where I was, right? Hey, I'm going to go to here with this person, and really, I'm somewhere else, right? Now, you can say, well, Joe, when you were a teen, they didn't have, follow my phone from Apple. You know, they couldn't track you on your watch. I understand, right? In that situation, hey, how did you find yourself at this party? They might have said to a parent, again, I've been in that situation. They might have said to a parent, hey, I'm just going over to Joe's house, and instead you're going to this party. But for the teenagers, if the police ever find the people responsible for shooting, and again, it looks like that's not where their focus is. The focus is on the promoter. But for those that committed the crime, I'm all about sending a message. And if the message is, hey, if your teen who's living in your house commits a crime with a gun, you could be charged too. And maybe, you do track your child's iPhone or Apple Watch, and you know exactly where they are. And that's going to make me sound like I'm all for being a helicopter parent. No. But you got to be able to prevent what happened in the city of Buffalo on the 4th of July. And everyone, as Zanetta Everhart said, everyone has to work together, right? Everyone in the community has to work together. And it starts with parents. It starts with parents being parents. And if you're going to, you know, if you're going to have kids, you've got to be a parent. And let me tell you, I only have a three-year-old. Yeah, it's not easy at times, but you have to be a parent. And when we're talking about what can we do for the kids, what can we do in the city of Buffalo for these teens so they're not out shooting, well, it starts with the parents. It really does. 803-0930, star 930 is the number to get on the program. It also gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. We'll take your calls after the news with Tom Puckett. It's Joe Beamer here for Culligan Water, the local water experts. Culligan of Akron has been helping families across Buffalo and Western New York solve hard water problems for over 70 years. Their water softening systems reduce hard water minerals, helping protect your plumbing and appliances. You'll notice softer skin, smoother hair, and fewer stains around your home. Culligan also offers advanced drinking water filtration for that added peace of mind. And now, for a limited time, get $200 off when you purchase a new Culligan system. That's right, $200 off when you purchase a new Culligan system. You got to trust the experts, and you got to call Culligan of Akron today, 716-542-4500. Hour number two underway on a Monday, 803-0930, star 930. Want to get to these callers. John, thank you so much for hanging on through the break. What do you got for us?
No problem. How you doing, Joe?
Doing all right, John.
Well, you know, I've been in business. My family's been in business in Buffalo for 108 years, and I've been in business myself for 50 years. But this year, because of all the problems that they and the safety issues in Buffalo, I decided I'm going to actually close, and I got to lay off some people. And I deal with a lot of people in Buffalo, a lot of companies in Buffalo. And a lot of people are getting the same attitude. I got a company that employs 66 people, and I talked to the president of the company last week. And he's in an area where that incident happened over the 4th of July. And he told me that he doesn't feel safe, his employees don't feel safe, and he's under so much stress with all different types of things in the city. He says he calls the Buffalo police, and they tell him that, you know, there's a problem. He calls the Buffalo police, and they don't even show up. So this guy, he's also closing. But I think it's time, instead of allowing the mayor to appoint a commissioner of police, I think it's time to put it up on a ballot where the people that live in the city elect the Buffalo Police Commissioner. When Rocco Dina was the commissioner, I felt much safer. When Dan Durenda was the commissioner, I felt safer. I go all the way back to Felicetta. But now it seems like it's open country. The criminals can do whatever they want. The police don't even show up. I mean, you could wait there. This guy waited for 3 hours at his company, and the police never showed up.
John, you said you're going out. You're closing your business down.
I'm going to. No, I already decided. I'm going to close the business down. Yes, I'm closing.
What led to that decision? What factors led into that decision?
A lot of the reasons why. I'll tell you what. The city's getting. It's time for me to retire. But I don't have to retire. I enjoy my business. But it's getting too dangerous in Buffalo. And the police don't seem to want to enforce the laws. From the littlest thing, like litter laws, to the biggest thing, like people walking down the street with a gun. I myself called the Buffalo police because I asked a person, I saw somebody in my parking lot by some vehicles, and I walked over, and I says, "Hey, you know, what are you doing here?" And the guy had a gun in his belt, you know. So I walked away naturally, and I called the Buffalo police. They never showed up. So I said to myself, instead of me taking this type of chance in the city of Buffalo, I'd rather just close down. While I'm still above ground. You know, sometimes you better, you just got to figure things out and say, hey, it's better just to close down. I don't want to lay off people. I'm going to try to find them all jobs, and I will find them jobs. But I just don't feel it's safe anymore. I mean, I used to feel safe walking out of my business at 11 o'clock at night. And I got lights on.
When did that change, John?
When did that change? That probably changed, I would say, at least 10 years ago. It changed 10 years ago because everything is just getting too crazy in Buffalo, and the criminals seem to have more rights than the business owner or anybody else. I mean, I watched the court very closely. I watch people sentencing. I see what they're sentencing people to. I'll give you a particular example. A woman walks into a KeyBank center with a loaded gun in her purse, and security catches the loaded gun, and our district attorney just lets her go on probation, and yet she came in with a loaded, unregistered, unpermitted gun. Yet, at the same time, the same district attorney will go after somebody else and try to crucify him for making a mistake. You know, I just don't get it no more.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, John, because it seems like, you know, and again, I love Western New York. I love Buffalo. But it seems like you just have all these things working against business in Buffalo. If it's not the policy, if it's not the taxes, it's the crime. It's just all these factors that are, as you said, pushing business out of Buffalo. And everywhere you turn, it's a force working against the city instead of with the city.
Right. You're 100% right. You know, when Jimmy Griffin was the mayor, okay, and I know this goes back, he was a no-nonsense mayor, okay? And when different people were in power in the police departments, like Dan Duranda, Rocco Dina, they wouldn't allow this type of conduct. They would nip it at the bud. They would send somebody there, and they wouldn't allow this to start. But now whoever's organizing another street takeover, and it doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything to rectify the situation. So
it's as if they're throwing their hands up, going, "Well, what do you want us to do?" And it's like, I don't know. I want you to send the officers there. Because John, I believe the officers want to be there. I believe the officers want to shut this down. That it's the commissioner who's planning. Again, you hear that clip.
I know numerous Buffalo police. My brother works for the FBI. My dad worked for the FBI. My uncle worked for the state police for 31 years. We have a long history in law enforcement. Okay? And I believe that the mayor, as well as the mayor, is telling the commissioner, and the commissioner, even though she hasn't, I call it, when you take an oath of office, you're supposed to keep that oath, you know, and the mayor is telling the commissioner, stand down, don't enforce these laws. And she, because she's just a puppy dog, she's going over and saying, okay, I'll listen, or we'll just let things get out of hand. Well, I'll tell you what. And this is beyond your time, but when there's a guy named Mike Amico, who was the sheriff of Erie County in the 70s, he was a tough guy. He would have never allowed this to happen, even in the city. He would have came into the city without the city's asking. He would have came into the city, and he would have corrected this problem. Because when he took the oath of office to uphold the laws of the state of New York, he took that seriously. And even when a police officer takes his oath of office, when he takes his oath to police, be a police officer, he takes an oath to uphold the laws of the state of New York. So I'm kind of surprised that none of these captains, and I know some captains, I know a guy at C District, he left. He said, I had enough, I quit.
That's one of the biggest problems facing Buffalo right now. Yeah.
They're leaving. I tell people, the seasoned guys who know what they're doing, well, I'll give you a typical example, like Al Rozanski from the Sheriff's Department Narcotics. He was a seasoned guy. He knew what he was doing. He got the drugs off the street. He knew. Yes, yep. He retired. But, you know, there's a problem in these departments now, and it's sad because it's jeopardizing the safety of the citizens of Buffalo and Erie County.
Yeah, you know, when you have a faction of the party in charge that thinks that the police are the evil and that police officers are evil people, and you have legislation in New York that says as much, it not only is it unsafe for people, but I mean, it puts the police officers at risk. And again, you have a commissioner who says she doesn't want to send too many officers to a situation. That's not the kind of talk I want from my commissioner.
Yeah, it's a totally ridiculous statement. She could have called assistance for the Sheriff's Department or the State Police, and they would have been happy to send officers there to help. They would
it's
have signed
it, together.
I know for a fact.
Yep.
And you know what? It seems like it's never going to change in Buffalo. I believe myself wholeheartedly, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. And a lot of other business owners are seeing this. They're saying, you know, you're right. It's going to get better. It's going to get worse. It is not getting better. The people are getting their cars broke into behind chain link fence in Buffalo. There's a company that has a parking lot with chain link fence. Then when they park their employees, park the cars near that area where this occurred during the 4th of July. They cut the fence. They bust in all the people's cars. They go into their glove compartments, rip the radios out. No one does nothing. But then again, there's no accountability no more.
That's the problem again.
When I was a kid, Joe, my father held me accountable. I was held accountable, and I believe in accountability.
And but when you see that there's no consequence for actions, as we're seeing time and time again throughout the city, that's the message that's been sent. Like you said, John, when I was a kid, oh my gosh, there were consequences for everything. You know, I was in detention, I had in-school suspension, all this stuff, and now. You know, again, we're focusing on the promoter. No talk about the shooters. In the schools, we want to get rid of suspension and detention because it doesn't do anything. When you teach kids that there's no consequences for your action, well, then they're going to continue to push it.
Well, Buff, believe me, there's a reason why there's no arrests. There's a reason. They can find the people. They can find them. I mean, you know. They can find him. I know I would bet my life they could find him if they want. That's how certain I am.
You know, we'll see, John. Hey, John. John, appreciate the call. Really do. John in Buffalo, putting a lot of insight there. Decades of insight. And, you know, I think maybe next week we'll do a show. Crime, legislation, leadership, all of that. Where do you see Buffalo in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, right? The trajectory of Buffalo. I think I want to do a show. I want to have guests on that. I mean, I'm talking an in-depth show. With the way things are going now, where do you see Buffalo in 10, 15, and 20 years? Abby has been very patient. Abby in North Tonawanda, thanks for hanging on.
Thanks a lot, Joe. I appreciate it.
What do you got for us today?
Well, my family went yesterday to Delaware Park by the Bidwell to a certain restaurant at the casino. It was lovely, beautiful, lovely day. No incidents. It was clean. I felt safe. I still believe it depends where your environment is. If you go into certain parts of the city and you look for trouble, you're going to find it. I can assure you. Second, you develop yourself, if you're successful, to move on from an area that, frankly, you don't want to live in. And that's what I did with my family. We moved on. Fortunately, in business and in the stock market, I was successful and was able to move out of the city into an area that is quiet, safe. And I feel very, very concerned about the city of Buffalo because I grew up in the city of Buffalo. I remember meeting important figures as early as 8 years old in the city of Buffalo. But what do you expect, Joe, respectfully, when you elect a Marxist mayor? He's a Marxist mayor. So this is exactly the blueprint. They do not want the city of Buffalo to succeed. They have their own agenda. A socialist society, this is what you get. Do you accept that, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, again, Mayor Ryan, when he was in the state Senate, supported bail reform, raised the age, all of this stuff that, again, I say is criminal friendly, is you know, gives more leverage to the criminal than the law-abiding citizen. And we know that the socialist end of the Democratic Party, what they want is to eliminate police and prisons. They want to send mental health advocates to 911 calls. So, I mean, it flows perfectly with what Democratic socialists have been talking about.
You got it right on the nail. I listened to your radio show. You're very well adapted. My daughter was in one of your classes years ago, and she said you were very kind to her. And I remember that. I won't get into the details, but you were kind to her. And my point is that you're a young man. You have a future, a family, hopefully, and you want the best for your family. But not everybody can afford to be successful enough to move away from the problem. And that's what we have to get back to. But I don't see that happening under this current mayor. His whole philosophy is a Marxist socialist. And you show me one validated history where socialist Marx was successful. Name me any country and I'll stand corrected. I can't find any.
Socialist has never worked, and it will never work, Abby. I mean, that's I think we can say that with almost complete certainty, given history. Appreciate the call. We're up against the clock, Abby and North Tonawanda. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the program. It also gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. I do want to get into this, the toxins or the toxic radioactive soil in Niagara County. I know it's like, Joe, is that we're just going to do negative topics for 2 hours? I'm sorry. I usually try to switch it up with something a little more uplifting. But this is a story that's kind of, we had Assemblyman Morinello on a few weeks ago talking about the initial call. Rob Ort has commented on this. And I got to know, anyone out there concerned about what might be in their soil? Do you have a story to tell about testing your soil, or what kind of chemicals may be under the yard that you, your kids, your pets play on? 803-0930, star 930. We'll get into that. Also, I do have to mention this video of the bison. Did you see this running into the guy, chasing the guy at Yellowstone Park? My gosh. We'll talk about that and much, much more. It's Joe Beamer. One segment left on News Radio 930 WBEN. Final segment. Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you for making us a part of your day today and every day. I am so thankful for this audience and really appreciate you tuning in today. We're going to get to the chemicals in the falls in just 1 second, but a texter put during the break. So many of Buffalo crime issues are due to bail reform. I know there's a lot of talk about getting rid of bail reform, but as a serious question, who has to do something to get rid of bail reform? Well, that would be the assembly in the state Senate and the governor and texter. Yeah, there's a lot of talk from us. There's a lot of talk from people in the audience, obviously. There's a lot of talk from your everyday citizen and taxpayer, but there's no talk from Democrats in Albany. If you want to get rid of bail reform, you got to vote in November. And again, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying the current leadership and lawmakers in Albany, the majority, will not budge on bail reform. Kathy Hochul will not budge on bail reform. Kathy Hochul will not budge on raise the age, right? John Rivera, who is now going to be a senator, he's not going to budge on bail reform, I don't believe. Okay? You might have a few moderate Democrats that would be willing to listen, but unless you get a change of leadership in Albany, yeah, there's talk about it, right? I'm sure your friends, when you're talking with people at work, there's talk about it. Unfortunately, there's not real talk about it in Albany. There's not an appetite from people like Kathy Hochul for bail reform, to reform the bail reform. And that is something we will talk about with Bruce Blakeman on this program tomorrow at 1:45. Now, the Niagara County, the County of Niagara, last week we were telling you this story. This is a story from over at Channel 7. We also have one on our website with State Senator Rob Ort. This is someone in the neighborhood. Quote, "I want transparency. Radioactive contamination found in Town of Niagara. Residents demand relocation." Ed Dranch had this story. A Town of Niagara woman says the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation notified her months ago that high levels of radioactive material were found in her yard, near the fire pit, shed, and along Gill Creek, where her daughter plays. Lexi Hawk said the discovery has upended life at what should be a calm, peaceful space. Quote, "When government agencies tell you to avoid using a big portion of your backyard you've used for years, you wonder what's going to happen." Hawk said she only learned where the radiation was worst after she signed a waiver which allowed the DEC onto her property, a waiver that relinquished any and all claims, now or in the future, to seek or receive reimbursement from DEC, EPA, in the state of New York. She said she signed the waiver under duress. "I have a 3-year-old. I was scared," Hawk said. This is happening in Niagara, and as you heard, they told Lexi Hawk that parts of her backyard, near her fire pit, near her shed, near the creek where her daughter plays, there were high levels of radioactive contamination. And this seems to be a story that we get back into the news every so often, right? In Niagara, obviously, you know something I have talked about ad nauseum. I'm sure you guys are sick of hearing it. But the lead contamination in soil on the east side. And my question is, do you fear there's contamination where you live, where your kids play, you know, where your pets go to do their business and then traipse that back into the house? Or have you had experience living on land that was deemed toxic, radioactive? Are you one of these people that have been notified? 803-0930, star 930. I'd really be interested to hear this because this is scary stuff. I mean, we're talking about stuff that could have a long-term effects on your body, on your family, right? And again, it's not just in the yard. That we all know. You have a dog, right? The dog goes out there after a rainfall, gets it on their paws. I don't care how much you wipe off, there's still dirt on their paws that's now going in through the house. So you wonder, how far is this radioactive, how far is this contamination? Does it, you know, the soil travels, does it travel? Again, lots of questions, few answers. And to get the answer, you have to sign away any kind of claim you would make against the state. That's the kicker. 803-0930, star 930. Joe in the Falls. Joe, what do you got on this?
I think I know where the chemicals came from. I think they came from, well, for sure, Stauffer Chemical, which was located in the town of Lewiston by the Gate of Heaven Cemetery, and possibly a plant that was called Vanadium that was located on Route 31 by Niagara University, way there. it was common practice in the town of Niagara years ago to, we had this thing in front of my parents' house, was called a cinder path. Well, these looked like cinders. They were black. They were really odd. They were black, like burnt, something that was burnt, and they had these little silver BBs in them, and they were hollow, and they were all different color, you know, like if Harley Davidson pipe turns colors when it gets real hot. These things were all different colors like that, and every year the local municipality would spread these out for a sidewalk on Military Road, and they would go all the way from Route 31 to it's Niagara Falls Boulevard now, Route 62, which was about 2 miles on each side. And they would spread these cinders out once a year. Well, these cinders were a byproduct or a product from Stauffer Chemical. When Stauffer Chemical closed up in around 1974, when Nixon started either the DEC or the EPA or something, this Stauffer Chemical had a lot of contracts with the government. So when they didn't meet the safety requirements, they closed immediately, and the place was gone within like a year. And they had a big, huge pile there that disappeared. And I know that for a fact because I used to go to the cemetery to water the flowers with my parents when I was a kid. And I remember one time me and my brother were catching frogs. We were about 100 yards away from my parents, and we heard this big explosion. And my dad started yelling for us to come over there. This big, huge cloud came out of there, and we were gone. We hopped in the old car and took off. But we went a couple of days later, and there was powder all over the stones. And all the stones that were close, like ours were, it actually took the coating off the top of the stone, like the protective coating. So Stauffer Chemical was terrible. It was common practice for the sewer project in the town of Niagara, where the problems are. They didn't get sanitary sewers until the mid-70s. And everybody had septic tanks and septic systems. Well, they used to bring that stuff to your house, and you could put it around your leach bed area and use it. That's why that stuff is going to be sporadically all over that neighborhood there. And the power project that finished, I believe, in 1963 or around that, the north side of Route 31 by there's an industrial estates there now. All that is fill from the tunnels that they dug from River Road to the reservoir project here, and some of the dirt from the reservoir that they didn't use, they brought over to the west side of Gill Creek, and partially on the east side, and they raised all that up. In the same time, the power authority was dumping there. Vietnam ended, that plant closed and all that, and they started dumping there also at the same time from the chemical from Stauffer. They were dumping there while the reservoir was dumping their waste there. And if you look on a town of Niagara map from 1852, the only thing in that neighborhood was a dump. And I worked for the town of Niagara for 36 years. And when you go down that road, Fox Avenue there, that was listed as a dump on the map all the way up to 1921. And we put a piping through there, a 50-inch arch pipe, smooth invert. And we were down 13, 14 feet, and I was going through an old dump back from there, and it stunk in there. And that's all still there. That's probably what the pollution, and my guess what's happening is the flow of the water flows south towards the thruway and eventually ends up in High Park Lake, goes underneath the railroad tracks. And I think what's happening there is that's just taking that stuff that was dumped there by 31 and just like running it right down the back of the creek. That's what I think's happening. Years ago, when we were kids, you couldn't even go near that creek. Gill Creek was the most polluted creek in New York State. There wasn't a fish in High Park. I mean, that didn't clean up. It cleaned up a lot after the sanitary sewer system came in. They used to take that stuff from Stauffer, and they used to dump it around pipe, and people would put it around pipe at the end of their driveways. And I mean, it was common practice to go get that stuff. There was a connection There was a connection between a couple people on the highway department and a couple people that worked there. So that's
fascinating, Joe. So they built on an old landfill, is what you said, and you discovered feet down all this old trash from 100 years ago?
Oh, yeah. In fact, my boss was getting mad at me because I was going through all the old bottles and I wasn't putting any pipe in. I mean, it was about 10, 12 feet down. That was the original, you know, line of where the used to be. And that was just one 60-inch trench going through there, 60 inches wide. I mean, who knows what's on both sides of it. When I was a kid, we used to cut through there to watch the drive-in movie. And that was and that's all the built-up stuff from the reservoir. And if you go farther down the road to Veteran Heights, it's on the same side. That's connected to the city sanitary system, so we don't have any issues. But that they have a lot of issues over there, too. I bet you'll find stuff over there.
So, Joe, with your experience and what you know, how far spread do you think this chemical waste, this radioactive waste, how far do you really believe it spreads? And how many neighborhoods, houses do you think it affects?
Well, I would never be able to, unless I knew the exact amount that went in there, or, you know, the flow of the water, the density of the soil. I mean, you got to know all that. But I'm telling you, where the water comes through on Whitmer Road there, where they dumped, that will go all the way into the High Park Lake, where it crosses over Niagara Street in the city, and down goes Buffalo Avenue into the upper river. So I would never be able to tell you how contaminated it is. They're going to have to do tests and stuff, but that you're going to find that stuff, you know, sporadically all over the town of Niagara, because they used to use it for fill. Like I bet you where the people got it in their backyard, I bet you it corresponds with their drink, with the old leach bed for their septic system. I bet you that's exactly what that is. And I don't know what that stuff was that they dumped there. I don't know the name of what they found or anything yet, but I bet you if you go see what Stauffer produced, or if they had a byproduct, I bet you it's the same thing. Because they get rid of that whole big pile. Did I ever see anybody dump over there? I didn't start working there until 82. Guys, when I started working there, I'm going by what the old guys told me. You know what I mean? I mean, I was working with guys that were there, you know, that had 35 years seniority back in the, you know, they're all, anybody that had anything to do with that is all, you know, those people are gone. Right. I'm just going by what I'm told. Now, this is my opinion. I can say that I witnessed them dumping that waste on the sidewalks. Well, everybody's seen that when we were kids, but I didn't see what went on with the power projects. But I heard from some people that were, didn't really have any reason to lie, you know what I mean? And they said that
a lot of
stuff came from Stauffer over there. And if you go around Whitmer Road, man, and when that creek goes, see, when they put the reservoir in Gill Creek, when they put the reservoir itself in the reservoir, Gill Creek was blocked off at the Tuscarora Reservation, and they ran the creek all the way around the perimeter of the reservoir. And when they did that, they raised all that up, and they lowered the flow in the creek. Years before the reservoir was there, the creek used to be way, way wider. If you look on a 1852 Town of Niagara map, there was a sugar mill there, and there was only one road. That whole neighborhood didn't really appear until the 40s, 30s. Wow. And like I say, and they would go over and get a load of this stuff and then bring it over and dump it over a pipe at the end of your driveway so you didn't have to buy stone. So they're going to find that stuff,
Joe,
all over.
Fascinating stuff. And not in obviously not in a good way, but fascinating stuff, Joe. I think that's a lot of information that people who live right there probably had never heard, and are now, you know, as we see, some are demanding to be relocated, and we'll see what this turns into. Joe, really appreciate the insight. Thank you so much.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Hey, you too. Joe in Niagara Falls. Really, really informative call. And, you know, more than I knew about what's going on. And I'm sure more than a lot of people who live right there may have known about that decades-long history about what's going on in that neighborhood. But again, these residents who were contacted by the DEC about the radioactive levels and told where in their yard it's the most, they're now asking to be relocated. And we'll see how this plays out. And it just seems like this is a story we keep on coming back to, right? Something in the soil, something in the dirt from, again, 50, 60 years ago. But it's still there. It's still highly dangerous. And you have, you know, people living on it. You've got kids playing through it. You got dogs running through it. Scary stuff. And obviously something that we'll continue to follow up with leadership and with the state and with all of that. Hey, want to thank you all for the calls, the texts, social media interactions. Remember, anytime you want to contact me when I'm not on the air, joe.beamer@wben.com. I try to respond to every email. I'm not saying I'm the best at doing that, but I try to get back to everyone who reaches out, and always appreciated. Don't forget, tomorrow on this program, 1:45, Bruce Blakeman will be on. Now, he was asked to come on to talk about the electric grid and this electrification push. Obviously, we're also going to ask him about bail reform, raise the age, and his thoughts of how last week in the 4th of July shootings were handled in the city of Buffalo. So you'll want to join him tomorrow, 1:45, on this program. And a month from yesterday, the Erie County Fair kicks off. And this show will be live from the Erie County Fair every day of the fair, except for Saturday. And on Sunday, Hardline, live from the fair. A month from tomorrow, I always say this about the fair, it's my favorite and least favorite time of summer. I love the fair. I love the blooming onions. You know, the fair, one of my favorite parts of summer. But it also, when it's over, signifies the end of summer is very near. But this show, as we have now done, I believe this will be my third year broadcasting live from the fair. Looking forward to it. Always a lot of fun, and always great to be able to see all the WBEN listeners stop by and say hi. Have yourself a great Monday afternoon. Stefan Mihailu is next in for Bowerly. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 1. Remember, Bruce Blakeman, 1:45 on this show tomorrow on News Radio 930. Oh, WBEN, and Rob, thank you for a job well done.